Good News in the Morning is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries and has been broadcast weekly since 1999. Do visit our website, gncm.ca. Here you will find podcasts of the programs and introductions to the Ottawa pastors who deliver the good news to growing numbers of listeners worldwide and need your regular prayers. And now, here is today's presentation.
It's no secret that our world is broken. There seems to be a darkness everywhere we turn, a dreadful fear of a mist in the air and its variants. Murders prevalent in every city, province. School shootings, not yet, but terrible things are happening in schools. Political scandals in Canada and scandals within the church generally. Potential for devastating Middle East problems, more than ever as we speak. The Aboriginal strife has never been challenged by any of the leaders, especially the current one. All talk and no action. Drug culture is so evident everywhere. It's now taken for granted. And sexual immorality. There's a lostness and a brokenness permeating the world we live in, my friends. The question must be asked, in a world with more everything, faster everything, easier everything, what is it that the world needs now? What is required to break this seemingly endless cycle of negativity and darkness? Well, I think the answer is simple. And it's profound. What our world needs now is more Jesus. Jesus was born into a very similar environment your children, your grandchildren are in this moment. It was a world of oppression and self-centered living. He experienced growing up in a challenged community, being a person without power in a dark pagan worshiping region of the world. Does it sound similar? When Jesus, the man, started his ministry, the odds were very much against him that his goal would ever be accomplished with the Jewish people and, of course, all the people in the world. He was looking for establishing a relationship with their God, and to attempt that in the field that he was in then had to be a daunting experience. Jesus now has taken his disciples to a series of trips outside of their Galilean community. They very likely never traveled more than a few kilometers from their home in their normal activities. No trips to the beach, no taking the family to hills for skiing or lakes for boating. Yes, as principal Jews, they would have traveled to Jerusalem for the Passover celebrations and some of the other key celebrations. And that would be a main event for sure. But highly unlikely they would have ever viewed the deep blue of the Mediterranean Sea, or visited a seaport, or tasted the salt and the wind. It's unlikely they would have ever traveled to the foot of the Mount of Hermon, the source of their own Jordan River and the Sea of Galilee. This is a pagan country, uninviting, dangerous to travel, especially if you're a practicing Jew. Jesus was expanding their minds as he was expanding their experience in these travels to Tyre, that we've heard about earlier in the week or in the month, Sidon, the Decapolis, and Caesarea Philippi. It was here in the center of depravity that Jesus wanted these disciples to get a different understanding or a viewpoint than their own narrow provincial understanding as Galilean fishermen and Jewish believers. When they were led to this area, they were led to an area where kids were killed, sacrificed. This was an area that I went to The very first time, we had quite a study. We went up on a hill, a group of us. There was only eight of us in the group. And we stood there and looked down at what you're seeing now, although, of course, modern, that those buildings aren't there, but that very hill is. And what its significance was amazing. Here Jesus took people, his disciples, to say, this is what you're up against. And you, honestly, when we read the scripture, you could almost feel the evil oozing out of that area. But Jesus had a point, didn't he? He wanted to change their understanding. Evil is around us. So when he asks this question, who do you say I am? And good old Pete, I love that guy. He responds effervescently with, you are the Messiah. You are the Messiah. Where did that come from? Do you think Peter figured that out all by himself? I suspect that was a revelation, as it referred to in another scripture, where God himself revealed his son and allowed Peter to make that proclamation. Jesus wants them to grasp the significance of what Peter just said. Do you get it? You are the Christ, the anointed one. It implies that the search is over for these people, these Jewish people, who have been waiting all of their lives and centuries for the promised one, the long-awaited Savior. And guess what? Peter has just declared that he's in their midst, in that awful place called Caesarea Philippi, where pagans worship took place. He has come. Do you really think that Peter and the boys understood what he said, really? What he was meaning, implication was? No. I don't think they gasped it. Yes, they said it. The Spirit moved. But did they really understand? Well, what we do know is that they were waiting for their long-awaited Messiah to come as a conqueror and restore the kingdom of God's people. That's what they were expecting. It was wrong. Jesus didn't want this worldview. He didn't support it. It was toxic to his real, true mission. Jesus came to stand in the place of all of us sinners. That's what he wanted them to know. You're going to receive judgment and wrath that belong to the true sinners. And guess what? You and me are sinners. And you know what? Jesus followed through on that mission. He wasn't trying to be a conqueror of Rome. He was trying to be conqueror of the evil one. Jesus' life and teaching changed the entire world. You know that and I know that. With these phrases like, love your neighbor as yourself. How unnecessary that is if you're not a Christian. Why would you bother loving your neighbor as yourself? Yeah, help them out if you can now and again, as long as it doesn't inconvenience me. That's not what Jesus said, however. Love your neighbor as yourself, establishing a new standard for right and wrong. Good behavior versus bad behavior. A love that can change light from the darkness. One person, one community at a time. If you're a follower, you do make a difference. So when Peter said, you are the Christ, Jesus stopped him up and said, don't take it any further than from this group. Not yet. I haven't quite accomplished what I want to accomplish yet. So don't tell people to expect that when they see me present, that I'm going to conquer the bad guys. That's not my mission at all. I want to conquer the evil one. Now, Jesus was very much aware of the Roman ability to put anyone, leading to a form of insurrection. It would be simple. Put somebody like that on a cross. And there were crosses all over Israel. Anybody that rebuked any Roman person, military person or a governor, they just hang them on a cross and let them die. Might take a week, but people will figure it out. Don't ever say anything against us Roman leaders. You're going to die on a cross. They were on the horizon. But you see, Jesus isn't finished surprising them on this trip to Caesarea Philippi, this pagan worship trip. He began to teach them that the Messiah must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed. And sort of almost incidentally, and rise again 3 days. This was far too much for Peter to grasp. The Messiah, which we've already claimed, we've already acknowledged him, and you're saying that this Messiah is going to be beat by the religious leaders? He is the religious leader. And you're saying, Jesus, that you're going to be killed? What? But you notice that Peter slipped over the one message that you and I, thank God, can figure it out. But after 3 days in the ground, he will be resurrected again. Our eternal hope for you and I. Well, this was too much for sure. And he had... In your own mind, can you see this? Peter walking over to Jesus, pulling him aside with his finger up, pointing right at his face, saying, "Don't you ever say that you're going to be killed, not on my watch." Well, Jesus wanted to make it clear, "Peter, I don't need your help. I'm God. I do not need you to come and defend me with your pompousness. Get behind me, Satan." Holy smokes. Could you imagine what Peter must have felt and all the disciples, how shocked they had to be when their leader said, "Get behind me, Satan"? But you see, I do believe, and this is probably understood by an awful lot of people, that it wasn't Peter that he was referring to. He didn't say, "Get behind me, Peter." He said, "Be Satan." He was very clearly that Peter's reaction was a response that the devil wanted Peter to say. Go over and rebuke Jesus, the Son of God himself. Take power as a human being over God. That was what something Jesus knew he had to confront. How stupid are you guys to think you can take over God's role? I don't need it. I am God. I think for many of us, that's a phrase that we probably need to practice. It's a phrase that from time to time in your world, in my world, you're being severely tempted to do things that you don't really want to do, being severely tested to be tolerant in times when you know you should be obedient instead. And I think there's times when you might have it on your lips, "Get behind me, Satan," to give you the strength that you need to survive the temptations of the evil one in our lives. But Jesus had to make it clear because he wasn't finished his mission. Do you agree that we've got absolutely solved the problem when he finished his mission? "Get behind me, Satan." And he carried on to the cross. That was his mission. And he wasn't going to let anything derail him. And then he made this statement, which I find also very challenging for most of us. If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way and take up the cross and follow me. Oh boy. What an invitation. The cross. Are you crazy, Jesus? I can hear them thinking. Are you absolutely out of your mind? The cross hurts. I've seen the evidence on the horizon where all these guys decided to do something and the Romans put them up on a cross. And yet Jesus made a point. You people follow me because you've been witnessing miracles. You've seen the healing of the blind, the lame, and the deaf. People demon-possessed. Know that I am really bringing into this world a new kingdom. And it proclaims a new standard of righteous living. Holy living in accordance with two standards, which we've said so much today. Love God, Jesus said, with all your heart and mind and soul. And love your neighbor. That's carrying the cross. In this world, that's carrying the cross. If you choose, and I choose, to take up ourselves a new standard of living with the good news, the gospel of God's love, you will be rewarded, however, but you got to lose the worldly focus, which is all around us, so hard to really lose. If you try to hang on to this worldly life, there's a consequence. You will lose heaven. And I wonder how many people in this room today and those people on the YouTube service watching, have you ever felt there are consequences to not making a decision for Christ? Choosing to follow his way. Jesus made it clear. If you try to hang on to this worldly life, you will lose eternal life. Your heavenly reward. Those are consequences. Is there anything worth more than your soul? Could you imagine Jesus saying that? Is there anything worth losing more than your soul? So Jesus tells us straight. No sugarcoating what lays ahead for a person who chooses to follow Jesus, the Son of God and the Redeemer of this world. To be a believer, as we were just saying a minute ago in that wonderful hymn, to be a believer is to save your soul. It's a blessing beyond measure. You got to let go of the world standards, to not be ashamed of the gospel, take opportunities to share it instead. So the cross ahead for all of us. Jesus died with a purpose. He went to the cross knowingly and willingly so that you and I would live with him forever. These are the central events of the Christian faith. My friends, the cross and the resurrection. These are two significant items that without them we would not be called Christians at all. The cross and the resurrection. So in conclusion, don't be ashamed. Jesus reminds all of them. Don't be ashamed of the good news of salvation. Don't be ashamed of Jesus himself to proclaim it when you can. You know, you can make a difference. You may think, I'm just a little person. I don't have much light to share. But by you standing firm and proclaiming what Jesus made clear, you can bring light in the darkness for many, many people, especially in this time that we're in right now. So do you believe it? I do. I do believe this. Jesus the Lord is my Savior. But you got to do it You know, got to avoid being distracted, and it's so easy to be distracted in this world. So what I'm finding, and maybe you do, is that you can't turn anything on. If you want a moment of relief, if you will, if you think you just want to sit back and watch a ball game on a Friday night, in my case, my favorite team at the moment, and the Jays are playing, and to have seen the words that came out of the coach of the Baltimore Orioles against our star pitcher, the words were swear words of the highest order, and they glued on the camera right on him as he said them. You could read the lips. That evil, you went to that TV to watch your team play and to be relaxing on a Friday evening, and you had to face and witness that kind of behavior on the very TV that you were watching, in your home. My friends, I think there's all kinds of evil around us when you least expect it. You might be pulling into a parking lot and find somebody yelling at you because he thinks you took his spot. I guess we really have to say it takes time to take action. And maybe it is today. Maybe today is the day that you remind yourself that you have to pick up your cross and stand for something. Whoever believes in Jesus is not condemned. That's what we stand for. Whoever does not believe in him stands condemned already. So the question, but who do you say I am? Well, I believe we're living in the last days. There's lots of examples of that. It seems like we're just cascading down a falls directly to the end. So I think you should be looking at yourself, and as I am doing the same, looking at where do we spend our money? Who do we honor with our money? Where do we spend our time? What are we reading? What are we watching? It matters a lot. This is our cross in this modern world because the temptations to deny the scriptures and compromise God's word so that you won't offend someone, you'll be much more tolerant, but you won't be obedient to God. These temptations are many and often relentless. I love what Peter said. He said, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a ravaging lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him. That same Peter who said, you are the Christ, said those words. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour you. Resist him. Be prepared to say, get behind me, Satan. Amen. Father God, we are challenged in this current world to elect leaders of substance, quality, and it's difficult. We are challenged to walk a narrow path rather than a wide path. And we're called to defend you and our faith in the face of tremendous pressures of the naysayers and the mockers. Help us, Lord, to remain firm and to resist evil. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in. If you've been blessed and encouraged, do tell your friends about this program. Feel free to send in questions and comments via the website gncm.ca, and be sure to share your good news if you've come to faith through listening. But the program on its own is not enough. Don't forget to join other Christians in worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and where it is lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. May you come to know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deeply within your heart, and may you feel our Heavenly Father surrounding you with His constant, abiding, and accompanying love.